My name's Jimmy, and I'm an addict. You know, we were debating before we started the meeting over who was going to go first, and he didn't want to follow me because, and now I don't want to follow him. You know what I mean? Like, shit, dude. You know, you threw me under the bus. I'm grateful to be here. I'm really honored to be speaking here. You know, I've got. What is my topic?
Where we are.
No, you can't hide from yourself. You can't hide. You know, I was thinking on my way down here, you know, because I knew I had the topic and I knew I was going to be sharing on it. I was thinking, you know, the first thought that came to my mind was when I used to lock myself in the bathroom and take a hit of crack, and then I'd be looking out from underneath the door, you know. That was hiding from everybody, right? That's the first thought that came to my mind, and I'm like, I'm forever grateful I ain't doing that shit anymore, you know what I mean? Putting a substance into my body is going to make me feel like I didn't want to feel to fucking begin with, you know, and not knowing how to stop. Man, I'm grateful I'm not there, you know? I've had a hell of a journey since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous. I came in 1989, and I promptly went out in 1996 when I quit going to meetings for about a year and a half. And all the beautiful shit that I'd put together, the house, the wife, the picket fence, the boat, the cars, the motorcycles, the race cars, all that shit fit right in the cooker. I put it all in there. Little kid, I put his ass in there too. You gotta go, buddy. You know? Grocery money. There wasn't shit left when Jimmy got done, you know? What just astonishes me is that after 8 years clean, like I did all the step work. I mean, I was diligent in Narcotics Anonymous. I had 8 years when not very many people had that shit, you know, when it was an honor to have that kind of clean time. Today, we got a lot of people with that amount of clean time, you know. Back then, we didn't, you know. So when I went out and I came back, it was a tough road to come in. I had to come in and face the people that were like, damn, I got more clean time than you. And I'm like, fuck you. It was difficult. It was difficult coming back, you know. It was easy to go out there, man. Just quit going to meetings and you should see how that shit works. But what really astonishes me is when I look back on it, I did all the step work. When you read my four step, like my first sponsor, he said at the end of, I'm watching this guy as I'm reading my four step to him because I'm trying to gauge what he's thinking of me because I got a lot of shit in my four step. I mean, a lot of crazy shit, you know? And I'm looking at him and I'm gauging and I can see, man, he's looking at me like, damn, really, dude? You know? And I'm like, now I'm starting to feel fucked up that I even told you this shit. You know what I mean? So at the end of it, he looked at me and he said, so you know what the moral of the story is? And I didn't even know what the definition of moral was, you know? I'm like, no, what's the moral? And he said, the moral is that drugs are bad for Jimmy and he should never do them again. I'm like, I got it, you know? But yet the disease is cunning, baffling, powerful. It's insidious, man. And if you look up insidious in the Webster's Dictionary, there's a little bitty footnote that says ambushed. Yep. And that sumbitch was waiting on me, boy. And it ambushed me, man. I mean, I still can't tell you why I decided to do it. I got this nice house, picket fence, little kid, wife, boat, all business, all this shit. I mean, I got it going on. And you know what thought crossed my mind was what would enhance this way of life? I'm sitting on the fucking picnic table looking at this pretty house and this nice fence, and I'm thinking, damn, a joint and a beer, that would do it. You know what I mean? And I shit you not, I went and got that joint, and then I got that beer, and you know, and I figured out exactly how long I could drink that can of beer before I poured that shit on the ground, flattened the can, and punched a bunch of holes in that shit. You know what I mean? I get 3/4 of a way through a Budweiser before I pour the rest of that shit out and punch holes in it. That's how fast alcohol works on my disease, you know? I figured all that shit out. You know, I'm blessed, though. You know, I got back into recovery. I was in my front yard with a gun and a sword, and I had a SWAT team there a few times. And, you know, I remember the last time I went to treatment, I went to Montgomery General Hospital, And they put me on the sixth ward, which is a psych ward. And I know the routine. I've been there so many times, I can tell you exactly what happens. Like, you go into the ER, they do a little evaluation, take your blood, you know what I mean? Or take your blood pressure, you know, your temperature and all that shit, because they're concerned about you, right? I ain't concerned about me, but you are. So, and then they send that, you know, the psychiatric evaluation down to make sure I'm crazy, right? So I had convinced my wife, I called my wife, well, I sat there for about 6 hours. You're only supposed to sit there for two, and then you're supposed to go upstairs and get a room, get an oil change, and you can go back out and do that shit again in a couple days, you know what I mean? Once you can convince the psychiatrist that you're not as crazy as they think you are, and then you can go back and start all over again. I had that shit down to a routine. Well, I've been sitting down there for 6 hours, and they didn't take me upstairs. So I walked up to the desk, and you got a picture of this. I got no teeth, right? Because I've lost them, right? They fall out or some shit. I don't know. Every time I get high, everything leaves, you know? So I walk up to the front desk, and I said, "Excuse me, sir." And he said, "Yes." I said, "I'm Mr. Mayo." And this guy's just looking at me like, "Yeah, you're a crackhead." He didn't say it, but I could see it all over his face, you know? And I said, I mean, what's going on? I'm supposed to be going upstairs and getting my room." And he said, "Yeah, we're waiting on transportation to the state mental hospital for you." I look at this guy and I'm thinking, "Yeah, you think so? You know?" I mean, he could tell by the look on my face. And he goes, "Well, you know, just go sit patient. I'm not sure what's going on." Because he could tell when he said that shit to me, that, you know, it clicked in my head, you know what I mean? And I may not agree with their plan, you know? So, but by now, you know, I had already lit a cigarette in the fucking emergency room, and they got all up in the air about that shit, you know? So they set an armed guard at the end of the hallway to watch me, to make sure I'm okay and I'm not going to smoke anymore, you know? And I had called my wife, and I said, "They're taking me to the mental hospital." She goes, "Oh, that's not where you need to be. That's not cool. You're not crazy." I'm like, "Wow, really? Okay, well, I thought I was, but yeah, I agree. I'm not crazy, so..." I said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up here. There's a bathroom in the ER. I want you to bring me a bag of clothes and drop..." Oh, yeah, because they took my clothes when I lit the cigarette. You know what I mean? So I'm in this paper shit, you know? And they... So she comes up. She drops the bag of clothes in the bathroom and then leaves the door open. So my room is right across here, and the guard is right down at the end of the hallway, so he can see straight up. But what he couldn't see was when I got up and went into the bathroom, I shut the door, I went in, I changed my clothes, I opened the door, and when I came out of the bathroom, I hooked the right and went right down the hallway. He never saw me leave. So when he came back in, there's just an empty gown laying on the floor of the bathroom. I guess he thought I'd disappeared, you know? But I went back home, you know, and I remember I'm sitting up there in that pretty house that the bank wants to take back, you know. I'm sitting there in that office, and it kind of overlooks this big highway, and I'm sitting there looking out, and I was thinking, what is that, you know? And I saw some lights, and it was a police car, and then there was another one. And then there was another one, and then there was another one, and I'm like, shit, I should have went back downtown where I could have got more dope, because now I'm boxed in here, you know? So they call me on the phone, I pick it up, I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Jimmy?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "We need you to come down so we can talk to you." I said, "Yeah, I ain't doing that shit, man." I said, "I tell you what, though, I do need a cigarette and a beer." And they said, "Yeah, we're not giving you either one, but we need you to come down." So after about an hour of playing phone tag with them and shit, you know, me hanging up on them every time they call, I finally decided, okay, I'll go, you know, because I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere anymore. So I walk down the steps, and there's a sergeant at the bottom of my steps, and he's got a 9mm, and his ass is shaking. "Get on the ground." And I was so indignant and so crazy, I looked at him and said, "Fuck you," pointing a gun at me, and I went back up the stairs and disappeared back into the office. And they started calling me again. "Hey, Jimmy, we need you to come down." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still looking for that beer, you know." And I finally get a phone call from one of the officers, and she said, "Jimmy, I've been out at your house before, you know, with the dog situation and stuff. Do you remember me?" And I said, yeah, I remember you." They call you the tree hugger, because the other police officers call. I have so much history with the police in my area. Like, they all know me. They know what I drive. They know who I am. So she said, Jimmy, I really need you to come down. She goes, you don't understand. You know, they're getting ready to send the SWAT team up there. And when they do, man, you know, you're already armed and dangerous. You're a drug suspect. And now you're an escaped mental patient, you know. And when they come in, it's not going to be good. And I could tell by her voice, like, she was shook by making this phone call. And I was like, all right, I'll tell you what. I want to go back to Montgomery General. I don't want nobody pointing a 9mm at me at the bottom of my steps. I ain't here to hurt anybody. And she goes, I got you. You come down. I'll put you in my car. I'll take care of you. I'll take you back to Montgomery General. I know that's where you need to be, and that's where we'll take you. So that's what happened. And then Child Protective, yeah, thank God, because that was the end right there. You know, all I had to do was say, fuck you one more time. You know what I mean? And I knew it. You know, I know it today. Like, it brings tears to my eyes to know that I was that close to death, you know, because they weren't going to come. You know how it is today, man. They come in, they shoot, and then they ask, hey, look for a gun, you know? I mean, with me, it would have been justified. So I met Montgomery General, and Child Protective Services needs to talk to me, so I go up front, and they said, you know, when I was a little boy, man, you know, I always wanted to be with my dad, but he was always drunk on the floor, always drunk on the floor. And so I never threw the ball with him, we never played basketball, we never went fishing, we never did any of that shit, you know what I mean? But I loved the man to death. And so when Child Protective Services said, you know, do you have the four-year-old child that you have, the environment that you're raising him in is not conducive to raise a four-year-old child. Either you change the environment or we're going to take him. And the thought that went through my mind was when he walks up to me one day and says, Daddy, why'd you let me take him? Why did you let them take me? And, you know, it brings tears to my eyes. I couldn't fucking do it. That's the one thing I couldn't do. I couldn't do it. So that was my stopping point. That's where I quit. And I've been clean since that point, you know. You know, I'm going to fast forward a little bit here so that you guys can get a real feel for this crazy shit that I'm living. I married this young girl because I like them young, and she likes women, and so do I. You know what I mean? So, match made in heaven. Here's my best man, right? You know? And, you know, we did really good together. She was on fire. I was on fire. We opened businesses. We did a lot of shit. God's been good to me. But Narcotics Anonymous has been great to me. You know, it really has. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be clean. So I married this young lady. She's doing really good. She drinks every now and then. She was not one of us. Notice how I said was not one of us, right? So, she gets endometriosis, which is a stomach disorder. Whenever a woman has her menstrual cycle, it really puts them in a lot of pain. So she starts taking oxys, you know, and she drinks occasionally, you know, and then she goes and sees her therapist because she has real bad anxiety. So they give her Xanax. That's it. I knew somebody would know. I couldn't do that shit. It made me sleep. I didn't like sleep. So I looked out there one day and she's out on the back porch doing this shit like, you know how we do when you get that nod going on, right? And I'm like, fuck, you know, I'm living with the disease, you know what I mean? I'm like, holy shit, we both have it, you know? And so I say something, you know, I say, hey, you know, we got a problem, honey. And, you know, there was no saying anything, you know, between the alcohol and the Xanax and the oxys, and I mean, it was a roller coaster for a while, and I just kind of sat there and held on, you know, like, you know, you're going to be all right, you know, we're going to get you through this. And then one day she decided, you know, enough was enough. Well, it was a nudge from the judge, you know. He told her, if you kick on that neighbor's door one more fucking time, we're going to put you in jail. And that was enough for her, so she decided that, you know, that the oxys weren't working anymore, and so she did good. She got off of them. I watched her detox for about 45 days. I'm like, damn, that's just fucked up. Boy, I'm glad it ain't me, you know? I hate detoxing, you know? So then Then she decides that she's found medical marijuana. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't never found nothing fucking medicinal in weed. You know what I mean? I mean, unless, you know, unless getting hungry and lazy is medicinal, you know what I'm saying? But she did. So now she's blazing fucking weed all through the house. I sat through that shit for 2 fucking years. She's like, you're always angry. You goddamn right I'm always angry. Because I hate the fucking disease of addiction. I fucking can't stand it. Don't set me in a room with 4 or 5 people using. One of them son of bitches is going to wind up dead, you know? Might be me, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, so I sat through that shit for a couple of years, and I finally, man, you know, it's an $800,000 house, it's a $500,000 business, it's a lot of shit, man. I didn't give a fuck about none of this. I'm out, fuck this. I packed my fucking bag, and I rolled. I went to the little house, didn't I tell you? I lived in my fucking motorhome. I don't care, man, I need peace of mind. And you can't put a dollar sign on that shit, you know what I mean? I'm like, I gotta go, you know? And so her idea of how to keep this shit together was to fill the house full of people smoking weed and drinking. Man, we got like a 6-bedroom house. Every one of them got somebody who's getting high. The girl upstairs is gay. She's getting high. The girl down in the hallway is her lifelong friend. That's all she does is smoke weed. The guy in the basement is gay and he's getting high, you know? And then, like 6 dogs, 9 parrots, 3 cats. I'm like, and now they got a fucking snake. I'm like... And she hit me with a text message. Remember this shit, Tony? I don't understand why you don't want to be here. I know that shit's funny as shit, isn't it? I'm like, you lucky I ain't set that house on fire yet. You know what I mean? Like, that shit's just insanity. You know what I mean? I go over there, and I can only be there for about 5 minutes, you know? And I'm like, I mean, it's bad. You know what I'm saying? Like... And I'm stuck, man. I'm stuck because at one point, this will really set you on your seat, right? At one point, my wife decided that she wanted to bring this girl home from one of our businesses. So she does. And then she brings her there. We spend the night. We have sex, of course. You know what I mean? The girl's drinking. I don't drink. My wife wasn't drinking at the time. And she gets up the next morning and doesn't want to go to work or whatever. I don't know. And then decides she's going to go to the hospital and say we raped her. I'm like, really? Like, I didn't know you could rape the willing. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Like, there's one thing that I'm 100% clear on, 100%. And I'm actually an expert at this, at the level of intoxication. If me and you sit down, I'll know when you lose your mind and when you don't know what you're doing anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's no doubt in my mind she knew exactly what she was doing. And it's a whole pack of fucking lies. But given my history, you know... They decided, hey, it's a good time to arrest him again. You know what I mean? So away I go. I'm out on a $100,000 bond. I got a trial date coming up June the 5th, and I'm stuck to this woman. I'm stuck to her. I can't go to her and say, man, fuck this shit. Fuck all you motherfuckers in this house. I'm going to get a goddamn baseball bat. All you motherfuckers are leaving today. I don't give a fuck. You can sue me. You can call the police. But you're all getting the fuck out of here. I'm putting the fucking bill for you son of bitches doing this shit to me. Right? I mean, it's crazy, it's insane, but I can't do it. I can't say a word. I gotta be nice. Tony says, Jimmy, don't do it. Jimmy, don't do it. I'm like, fuck that shit, Tony. I want to kill him, you know? And then he hits me with, and you know, the first thing, I come down here, I get into the meeting. We went to that Thursday night meeting, the local meeting, and the room was packed full of people. And the first lady that shares in that meeting says, expect a miracle. And that's what my sponsor always tells me. You know, when I came in, I was facing a 5-year mandatory by a violent convicted felon with 5 handguns. That's a 5-year mandatory. The mandatory shit means you're getting it. You know what I mean? You ain't getting around it, you know? And my sponsor kept saying, Jimmy, it's okay. Do what you can do today, man. Expect a miracle. God's got a plan for you. You know what I mean? God, I love this guy right here. You know what I mean? Like, wow, he's been, gold to me. And so, you know, I just hang in there. I got a probation before judgment for that charge. A PBJ. When my attorney came to me and he said, look, we're going to plead guilty today. I said, I ain't pleading guilty to shit. And I said, man, I'm going to get 5 years. He goes, no, I got you a PBJ. I looked at him. I thought, this dude's senile. He's lost his fucking mind. They won't even give me a PBJ on a parking ticket. You know what I mean? Let alone, you know, a felony that's got a 5-year mandatory attached to it. But I got a probation before judgment because God is good, you know? God is great, you know? So now here we are again, you know what I mean? And I'm just kind of holding on. I'm holding on for that miracle. I know it's coming, you know, because, and here's the funny part. Everybody at Montgomery County Courthouse, all the court clerks, even Judge Rube, shouldn't say that, huh? Because they're recording this shit. Even the judges, you know, all the court clerks and shit, they all are just astonished that this shit's going to trial. Like, it's just, my attorney is like, wow, out of all the cases I've ever had, I would have never thought this to make it to a trial date because it just doesn't make sense. You know, none of it does. Like, all of the evidence and stuff, it doesn't make sense. There's nothing there, but yet they did it anyway, you know? But that's my history. My history has been like, fuck the police. You know what I mean? Like, it's not anymore. I'm not that guy, you know? When I met James, I wasn't that guy. They pulled me over for tint on my windows and found an old warrant and took me to jail, and I was pissed. I was so pissed. You know, they put all my jewelry and shit in this plastic bag and dropped it on the floor, and I'm like, you know, and then threw me into a cell with a 3-piece suit on, and I'm like, God, why are you doing this to me? I mean, I got like 5 years clean. This doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? I had just left the NAA noon meeting that I attend almost every day. I just left the meeting. And I'm like, damn, God, why are you doing this? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And then this guy walks in. He's throwing up. And then there's some drunk Spanish guy because it's Cinco de Mayo. So they drug his ass in there. And he's got this tube of Go-Gurt. You know those long plastic tubes of Go-Gurt? He opens it up, takes a little bit out of it, and just slings it across the cell. So James is standing at the door, you know, and there's Go-Gurt. It starts on the wall, goes across his back, and down the other side of the wall. So when he walks away, it's like a cartoon. You know, his imprint is, I'm like, wow. And I said, and James is up there peeking out the window, you know, trying to see when his bond hearing is coming up. And I was like, dude, are you all right? And he's throwing up in the toilet. And I'm like, dude, you all right? And he's like, no, man, I'm sick. So what are you sick from? He goes, I'm detoxing. And I was like, really, what are you doing? He said, oxys. And I said, when was the last time you used? He said, Monday. I said, wait a minute. This is like Thursday. Like, the last time you used was Monday, and you're just getting locked up today, and you didn't use between... He goes, oh, no, no, see, I got locked up on Monday, and I got out yesterday, and I... Like, he got locked up at the CVS when he was cashing the prescription on Monday, and then they released him, and then on Thursday, they released him on Wednesday, so Thursday he goes back to the doctor, and they arrest him and the doctor. So he ain't used in like 4 or 5 days. He's a hot mess, you know? Got Go-Gurt all over him. He's throwing up in the floor. And I was like, dude, I used to shoot dope. And he goes, what? You? I'm in a 3-piece suit, right? I mean, I do not look like a junkie anymore. But yeah, you know, I shot dope in my neck. And I'm like, and he's like, really? You? And I'm like, yeah. I said, you ever heard of Narcotics Anonymous? And he was like, no. I said, that's what I do. I go to a lot of meetings, man. And, you know, that's the solution. And, you know, I happened to be at his one-year anniversary. I rolled in. I think I didn't know the meeting. I didn't know it was him. I rolled into that one-year anniversary, and he looked in the back of the room and saw me, and he said, and as he was sharing, he said, and there's the guy in the back of the room that was the first person to tell me about Narcotics Anonymous. Like, that's why I was in jail. You know, God had me carrying the message. You never know where he's going to want you to go do that. You know what I mean? So be careful what you ask for, right? Man, I'm really grateful for those. There's been a couple of times in my recovery that I've been able to carry the message of recovery into places, and I never would have thought, you know, that's what I was there for. It's always dark in the tunnel. You got to wait till you get to the end of it, you know? God is fantastic, man, but Narcotics Anonymous is even better because Narcotics Anonymous is what brought me to God. If it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, I would have never gotten to my higher power. Thanks for letting me share.